We come to the second part in our series this morning, and it's entitled Our Relationship to Ourselves. Many of the problems that people encounter in life and that I encounter in my work are in relationships, and they're to do with being out of relationship with ourselves, out of harmony at the very core of our being. Many times the reason has been caused by the pain that others have inflicted, the lack of adequate nurture maybe in childhood, or perhaps deprivation and abuse in the early formative years. There are circumstances and events over which people have no control. But you know, as adults and as we sit here this morning, these issues have to be faced. And already last night and this morning, those who've spoken to us have encouraged us to face the issues. If we are to be healthy emotionally, to grow in maturity, and to be able to conduct healthy relationships with those in our world, we need to have a proper view of ourselves. You know, Glenda was reminding us this morning that human nature is so often extreme. Today, people are seeking self-fulfillment to the extent that self is becoming a god, and we view life from a humanist point of view, from those in the New Age movement, as she told us about. Also, on the other hand, I find those who hold a view that anything to do with self is evil and worthless. Sometimes we were brought up to think that self was not worth looking after. But as Christians, we need a right estimate of ourselves, to see ourselves as God sees us. And the Bible tells us that God created me in his own image. Glenda reminded us of the psalmist who in Psalm 39, in his prayer to his Father God, says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Or the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians at Ephesus, reminds us that God is so interested in us that he has planned for us. In Ephesians 1 it says, "God chose me in Christ before the world was made and planned for my life to bring praise to him." He told the Corinthian church that we, that is, you and me who believe in Christ, are being changed into his likeness. What a picture of you and me. But do we portray it? I have to admit that often in my own daily experience that I am far removed from the picture that God has planned for me. So often my view of myself bears no resemblance to the God who created me in his own image. Many times I feel anything but wonderfully made. Perhaps somebody here knows what I feel like when I say my joints creak with arthritis. My eyes need stronger glasses. The lady who took our session last night knows about that. My hormonal imbalance depresses me. And my behaviour is often selfish and self-centred. I am not portraying a picture that God planned for me. Yes, it's true. We were reminded again this morning that our lives have been affected by the disobedience and the sin that came into the world in the Garden of Eden. And many times, like Adam and Eve, we feel like hiding, just as that message was given to us this morning. We didn't know what we were talking about, each other, but we have both been on the same track, I can tell. We've not only been born into a world and environment that has gone haywire, but sometimes you and I have been born into imperfect families. We've been given negative messages about ourselves. We've had sometimes very painful experiences in our past. Our society, in every magazine that you read and every television you show, feeds our feelings of failure and inadequacy. You know, I don't have hair like that decoré lady has. I do not have skin like that Dove lady has, the Dove soap. You know, it's so beautiful all the time. And some days I don't have the energy that that cereal pack seems to give to that man who eats the stain or whatever one it is he's eating. I don't feel as good as they say it should be. And so it's not hard to understand that many of us end up with a low self-esteem and a long way from the good relationship with ourselves that we were meant to have. Ladies, you and I are not to glory in the artificial measures of success that this world imposes on us. You know, fame, money, good skin, beautiful hair, they don't have the same meaning in God's economy. C.S. Lewis, when he was writing a sermon on loving God with your whole heart and loving your neighbour as yourself, says that we are to love ourselves in spite of knowing the worst about ourselves, just as we are asked to love others in the same way. We're asked to love others, warts and all, and we need to be kind enough to do that for ourselves. Don't measure yourself against each other. Take the measure of your worth between what is actual and real in your life and what is the potential that God gave you. That's the only thing we can fall short of, is God's measure. The person who gives you your grade is God. You know, sometimes teachers were unkind to us, weren't they? They didn't give us always the grade we felt we deserved. But God is fair. And we are to take our grade from God. How are you doing this morning in the light of what He has given you and within the limits of yourself? I want to share with you the story of one woman in the Bible whom I believe had the ingredients for a very low self-esteem. I love the Word of God. It has such true life characters in it. And we can often identify more easily with what God is saying to us. Her circumstances would have driven many of us to be out of a good relationship with ourselves, but she overcame it. Hannah was her name, and we find her story in the first book of Samuel in chapter 1. Hannah was a woman who lived in a very difficult time. The laws of the government were no longer obeyed. Everybody did what they wanted to. The church of the day was in a mess. Even the priests were corrupt. The country was under threat by its enemies. Well, you say, what's different? The Bible's alive, isn't it? Because we women are living in difficult times, when it is not always easy to be the women God wants us to be. But you know, the outside circumstances compared very little for this woman to the pain that she had to cope with in her own home. 1 Samuel 1 tells us that this woman was coping with a number of issues that would have thrown many of us. Her husband, Elkanah, had deviated from God's plans and it had brought difficulty on those in his home. By following the worldly customs, which would have been quite accepted in that day, he had taken a second wife, Peninnah. So Hannah had all the human pain of watching her husband in a relationship with another woman. You know, ladies, in my work I see many women who are coping with the pain of knowing that their husband has not always been faithful to them. They carry deep scars and hurt that unbalance the whole of their daily living. But as if that wasn't enough, Hannah had that pain, but Peninnah hated Hannah and was jealous of her husband Elkanah's love for Hannah. So Hannah not only had that pain, but she had to suffer the constant provoking that Peninnah's cruel and bitter remarks made, and the poison that only such jealousy and bitterness can produce in relationships. But that still wasn't all Hannah had to cope with. More painful than all this was the feeling of failure and inadequacy that Hannah suffered. The grief and despair because she was childless. The emptiness and aching in her heart as she watched Peninnah have children. What despair childlessness brings for many people. The pain of feeling inadequate. The feeling that you failed to be the woman that you wanted to be. The feeling that you failed a husband or a loved one. And so Hannah had this pain deep in her heart. The feelings of even being forsaken by God. The depression. What's wrong with my body? Why are other women functioning okay and I'm different? And as so often happens when our self-esteem is low, she couldn't find comfort anywhere. She couldn't even hear the positive messages. And you know, that's so true of us. When we're not right inside, the whole day is grey. We miss the bird song. We miss the flowers, by the way. We miss the positive messages. And so Hannah couldn't hear them either. Elkanah's assurances that he loved her the most and that she was even more important to him than 10 sons all fell on deaf ears. In fact, they made her feel worse. You know, when you're out of relationship with yourself, you are out of relationship with your world. Hannah certainly had all the ingredients for a poor self-image, a self-esteem at its very lowest, feelings of inadequacy, all the guilt and grief that brings, hurt and pain in relationships, criticism and ridicule from others, bitterness and resentment feeding the emotions in her home. She desperately needed someone who could hear her and attend to her needs. Well, how did Hannah come through this to be remembered as she is, as a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, and a woman of great unselfish love? And I believe there's 4 clues. Firstly, Hannah acknowledged her problem. Hannah had just endured the yearly pilgrimage to Shiloh and the temple, and as happened every year, she was tested beyond measure by Peninnah's jealousy, hate and ridicule, to the point that Hannah arrived a weeping mess. Ever been like that? Nervous and unable to eat. She felt no one understood her pain. She didn't even feel that her husband's love could compensate. And so it's a very vivid picture that I see here of a woman who is not in a good relationship with herself and is suffering depression. Of course, my nursing background does love to diagnose. And then we read in 1 Samuel 1, Hannah's sitting there weeping, crying on the inside, too upset to eat at the meal, and she gets up and goes back to the temple, and there she broke down and wept bitterly. And before God, she lays out her pain and her grief. Verse 9 says to us, "And Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly." Ladies, if you and I are to deal with the brokenness that is in our lives, before God, we will have to acknowledge our need too and cry out our pain and our need to our Saviour. Alice was a woman who was in a group in America where they were learning together what it meant to live the Christian life. And they were learning about each other. And it came to Alice's turn to share her life. And she shared quietly of how, as a very small child, she'd been put in an orphanage and how she'd been left there and she was not very attractive. And she just longed that the people who came would adopt her and take her home. But they looked over the children and nobody took Alice. Then one day a family came and she thought she was to be chosen. The matron warned her that it was only for a trial period. But she went to this home and she was so encouraged. She had a new room and a school to go to and life started to open up for her. And then one day, a few months later, she skipped home and in the front door and there in the large hallway with the high ceilings was her battered case and her coat thrown over it. And she realised again that she was not wanted. She said that that happened to her 13 times before she was 7. Now, I've got it wrong, I beg your pardon. 7 times before she was 13. The group was moved to tears. And Alice said to them, "No, don't be upset for me. I needed my past because it brought me to God." Ladies, there is no pain that you and I can experience that is wasted if it brings us to God. And Hannah's pain brought her to God, and that's the place to go. Hannah knew her need, but then secondly, Hannah encountered the living God. "O Lord of hosts," she began as she cried out to God. Hannah recognised who God is. He is the Lord of hosts of heaven and earth and everything he has made. He is the mighty God, the ruler of everything, the sovereign God. One commentator, Matthew Henry, says that this was the first time a person had addressed God in this manner. Hannah saw God's greatness and in the light of that, her own status, a child and a servant. She recognised her dependence on God and she acknowledged God's power and greatness. And she trusted in that greatness because she dared to ask for a miracle. She asked for a son. Her prayer stated her trouble and pain. But also in faith, it specified her request. Verse 11 says, "O Lord God Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." Hannah's motives were unselfish. Her prayer was not for herself alone. She saw her place as a servant of the Most High God. Ladies, do you see yourself as God sees you? Are you living in that relationship as a child of God and as a servant of our great God? For some of us, our God's too small. For some of us, we miss seeing the greatness of his plan. Our faith is so limited, we ask for paltry things when he wants to give us miracles, because he is the Father and the King of the universe. We have a small vision, and when we pray prayers, we're turned in on ourselves. We miss who we are in God's scheme, children of the mighty God, servants of the King of Kings. Hannah acknowledges her problem and she encounters a great and mighty God. And then thirdly, Hannah changes direction. There are a few reasons to believe this. As we go on in this story, we see that Eli the priest made the very wrong assumption that Hannah was drunk and not upset and so he lashes out in criticism at her. But now, this Hannah, who'd been destroyed by Peninnah's criticism, is able to explain herself to Eli. I believe already there's a change in attitude. No one has the power to destroy us and to bring us low unless we give them that power. We make choices about whether we will see ourselves as God sees us, whether we will act as his children and his servants. Hannah had let Peninnah previously bring her undone. And how often we let other people bring us undone. But verse 15, there's a change. Hannah answers the priest's accusations and she says, "No, my lord, I am a woman in sorrow. Do not consider your servant a worthless woman, for it is out of my great concern and grief I have poured out my heart before the Lord." You know, when our self-esteem is healthy and we have a right view of ourselves, we can deal with issues as they are. We can say it as it is. Like we were reminded last night, we don't have to put up masks. We can talk about it how it is. We can acknowledge our needs. We can acknowledge our hurts and pains. We can acknowledge our need of God. And Eli recognised this sincerity of heart that had come in Hannah's life. And when he spoke again, he had become the priest of God that he needed to be to her. And he says the words of peace, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant you your request." Then we see that there's not only a change in Hannah's words and attitude, but we also see some practical changes of direction. Verse 18 tells us, "Hannah went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." Outwardly, the change is instantaneous and remarkable. Her appetite has returned, her face is changed, and her actions have changed. Many times, if we are to help ourselves and allow God to help us, we need to take some very practical steps. Hannah couldn't go on not eating. She had to take care of her body. Eating the things that are good for us might be one of them. But how often, ladies, our bodies are a result of what we do or don't feed them? Isn't it easy to feed our despair and our depression like Hannah did? You know, an extra cup of coffee and another cream cake. It won't hurt, it'll buck me up. And so then we don't feel good in our health. Or tranquilise us. Sometimes we come to rely on those things to feed our body, to keep us going. Sometimes we hate ourselves so much we starve ourselves and we don't diet sensibly. Debbie Smith, the wife of Michael W. Smith, the musician and artist, says that she struggled for years with the disease of anorexia nervosa, the disease of self-hate, obsessed with everything about her physical appearance. She starved herself for 7 years. And night after night, she sobbed into her pillow, pleading with God to make her normal again. God did answer her prayer and he healed her. And God is able to help us deal with our bodies and the things that we need to. We need to respect our bodies as God's creation. Sometimes the looks on our faces need a change too. Now, we mightn't look like the Revlon or the Estee Lauder lady. I'm not talking about that, nor am I talking about the masks that we were reminded by Jan last night that we put on. But sometimes, you know, the faces we do wear affect the way we relate with other people, the way we feel about ourselves. You know, a happy face can change the atmosphere. And sometimes you actually start to feel different yourself. Have you ever tried it? You've had a bad day and the door's about to go and the family's about to come in and you think, well, will I tell them how it really is? Now, we don't need to be dishonest. I'm not saying to put on a dishonest mask. But we need sometimes not to go on spoiling our relationships by feeding our despair, by feeding our unhappy feelings. And so verse 19 goes on to say, and they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had sexual relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bare a son and called him Samuel. One of the most difficult changes we need to make when we encounter the living God is to start living out our faith, being part of the answer to our own prayer. Years of unfulfilled dreams could have been a big turn-off to Hannah when it came to sex with her husband. I know, because I talked to many, many women who struggle with this issue. But no, we find she allows God to work in this area of her life too. She's not afraid, like so many women are today, to love and to be loved. You know, ladies, if we are not comfortable with our bodies, then we will not have a good self-image. If we don't enjoy our femininity and our sexuality, we are denying God's gifts and the way that He created us. Many of us as women need to find deep within us healing in this area of our life. And Hannah believed her prayer was heard, and she trusted God, and she lived out her faith in a way that those around her could see it. If we want to be in a good relationship with ourselves, we need, like Hannah, to take positive, practical action, care for our bodies, cultivate positive emotions, count our blessings and commit ourselves to growing and maturing to be the women God wants us to be. And then fourthly, Hannah experienced the results, the blessings of a good relationship with herself. As a result of Hannah's growth, we see some really dramatic changes in her life. What a joy she must have known when she discovered she was pregnant. How exciting to hold that longed-for baby in her arms. Those of us who've known that a family didn't come easily will know something of Hannah's joy. What a wonderful time she would have had watching him grow from babyhood to a young child. As soon as he was weaned, she fulfilled her promise and gave him back to God from whom she had received him. From then on, she only saw him once a year when she went to the temple to worship and offer sacrifices. God did give her other children, I'm relieved to know. Because I wonder if I had been Hannah, whether in spite of the wonderful miracle and answer to prayer, I would have been able to go through with my promise to God. What unselfish love. Hannah knew how to really love. She didn't need to possess. Her dedication to God was complete, and it carried over in her feelings about herself and her feelings as a mother. How different to the aching, the hurt and pain of her former years. And that's the interesting thing that I note, that a good self-esteem, growing in our view of ourselves, doesn't make you more selfish. It frees you up to be unselfish. It really helps you to love others more. We live in a very selfish, self-seeking, self-centred age. And I'm sure it's because many of us are not feeling good within ourselves. And so we're grasping, hanging on tight, looking for things to supplement our life, because deep within us, we don't have that good relationship with our God and with ourselves. And you know, the selfishness of this age is not bringing happiness. So many are just finding themselves turned in on themselves. Another result we see of Hannah coming to terms with herself is seen in the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And when you read that another time, just notice these things. When we read her second prayer, it's easy to see how different it is to the first one we read. It was full of pain and hurt. But in the next prayer, she is not only thankful to God for what he has done for her. In fact, you know, there's not even a mention of her son. And I find that very interesting. The whole prayer is filled with the greatness of God and the praise that fills her heart as she contemplates our great sovereign God. Many Christians I talk to are frightened by the need to improve their self-esteem or to work on a better self-image. But the real fact is that when we are in a good relationship with ourselves, it frees us up to enlarge our vision of our God and our world. We are no longer turned in on our little selves, but we are released from selfishness and self-pity and are able to see our great God and what he is able to do in every situation. Hannah's changed heart and changed attitude set her free to minister to others. She was privileged to be a mother who could give her child and support him to be God's mouthpiece in a very difficult day. And if you know the story of Samuel, you will know that Samuel became God's prophet, priest and judge to Israel. And the faith of this people of Israel who had turned away from God was restored. All because Hannah became God's woman and worked through her difficulties to have a good relationship with herself, her own body, and her difficult emotions in her home. She faced her problems, her pain, she faced her God, and she allowed him to work in her life. She cooperated with God and took positive action to put right her attitudes and her behaviour. And she knew the blessing of being in a right relationship with herself, her God and her family. Our self-esteem is lowest when we are least reflecting God's image. When we are caught up with the world's view of life, when we are preoccupied with ourselves, we are least reflecting the image of God and we are least able to be in a good relationship with ourselves. But when we are able to lose ourselves in unselfishness and giving, then we have a healthy self-image and we can enjoy being the woman that God wants you and I to be. Karen Kemp was an American woman whose story I read some time ago. She was a woman who had reared her children. She had three children, I think, was the wife of a businessman, was a busy woman in her community. She took part in her community. She worked on the school canteen and worked at the auxiliary. She helped her husband and went to things with him and his life. She reared the children. But deep within her, Karen was not happy with herself. And so she started to turn to alcohol and tranquilizers. And it became such a habit that each day, as the day wore on, she would feel the need. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, she would be looking for that little drink to help her through the rest of the day. It became a habit. Nobody knew except Karen's close family. Nobody knew because she was still a successful woman in her community. She was still attending and carrying out all the duties of a wife and a mother and a woman in her neighbourhood. But one day the problem had become so big for her. Her daughter's married, her son was away at camp, and her husband was away on business. And deep within her depression, she felt that her family would really be better off without her. And so she packed her bag and she put in the tranquilizers and she booked in at a motel to end it all. And just before she left, she threw in a book that was on her shelf, a book on positive thinking and a Bible that had never been used in the family. When she got to the motel, she unpacked her things and laid out the things and the tranquilizers and was going to the hotel to pick up some food and drink. But she picked up the Bible and she started to read. And as she read, God's Spirit gripped her heart and she saw her need. And he spoke to her and she kept on reading. She couldn't put it down. And before the night was ended, Karen had had an encounter with the living God and asked God to come into her life, to change her heart and her attitudes, and to give her purpose and meaning. She knew it was going to mean going home and confessing and acknowledging to her husband that she hadn't been the wife she needed to be and that she needed to put a lot of things right in her life. But with God's grace, she did that. And at the time of writing, 3 years after that event, Karen said that she was a woman who had found God's purpose and meaning in life. These are her words. "I had suffered and almost lost. I will always know that somebody cares because God cares. With God, all things are possible. And it is truly wonderful to have a relationship with our Lord." Karen was an ordinary woman, but out of relationship with God and out of relationship with herself. But by God's grace, she found the way back. May each one of us find that as we search our hearts over this weekend, we shall come to a real relationship with Jesus Christ, our Saviour and friend, and that having done that, we will allow his light to search our hearts and to put right those things in our hearts and lives, like Hannah did, like Karen Kemp did, so that we might not only have a relationship with him, but that we might have a good relationship with ourselves.